Thank you for listening to Surge Network Podcast. For more information and upcoming events, visit surgenetwork.com. All right, this is Surge Podcast, and I am Aaron Daly. And the goal of our podcast is that as a network, we would put Jesus on display as a collective witness of God's people in every part of our city. Now, you're probably used to a sermon format of this. After our regional gatherings, we have a release of what was taught.
Yes.
But we made a mistake.
It's okay. That just shows who we are,
that's
right?
That's right. Yeah. We made a mistake. Technical difficulties. Anybody who's been in ministry at any time understands technical difficulties. We didn't get it recorded, and we had a lot of people ask for it. And we had a very special guest who has agreed to sit with me in your office and re-record or try to capture
happened that day.
Renee Wooster, I only know you through reputation. Mm. And now this is my first time where I get to meet you in relationship. I've heard so many good things about you and your husband and the healing you've brought to so many people. And so that day to sit under this teaching for me was a heart check. It was an opportunity to just sit there and ask some really good questions. Mm-hmm. And you guided us through that very, very well. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So thank hoping to kind of recap that. But could you first tell us a little bit about you and your husband if you want to or whatever? Just give us an introduction. That would be great.
Yeah, I think Don and I both have been in full-time ministry. So we have that as a background. I was in business before Don has got his doctorate in counseling psychology. And a lot of things that we do came out of just someone asking us to do them.
Yeah.
So speaking at something, doing marriage retreats, do marriage intensives, all because we cared for people.
Yeah.
And then out of that came an opportunity and a place to guide people. But the bottom line is being connected to God so that we can have intimate and close, healthy relationships with one another. And we always say the journey is the same, right? The Lord just keeps wrapping us, helping us understand his deep, abiding love. But as human beings, if we don't have kind of regular places in our life where we understand where it gets into deeper places inside of us, then it's really hard to be with people, including ourselves, right? And so the ability to check in on ourselves and part of my heart for even that day when we had the conversation was, as I prayed, I felt really directed about the things that I talked about that day. Because we're around quite a few ministry people, and in that, realizing this has been a hard season.
It has,
And out of that hard season, you realize things that maybe have been missing before, but you didn't know how profoundly they were missing until you go through a really hard season. So there's kind of regathering to me, restoration.
Yeah.
All of that is a part of what I think God is about right now. And I think he's giving us, quite honestly, I think he's giving us opportunity to enter into that space. Like there's this time and season right now where I think the church is being invited to go deeper and have healthier relationships. And I think he's always inviting us. That's the goodness of God.
It is so good.
Yeah, being at the table with him, and he keeps inviting us, and we can totally push it away from the table. We can not take it. We can say we're not hungry. We can do all that, right?
Yep.
But that never stops him serving us a good meal. So I think in that, the Lord's just serving us a good meal. And for me, when I'm speaking to people who are in the caring profession, and I think pastors, ministry leaders, they're in the caring profession, it's especially hard to keep track of yourself. So that was the whole message, you know, to go, how are you doing with keeping track of yourself? You know, the hardest person in your life to keep track of is you. So,
I felt that day. I mean, that really resonates with me. I feel like the Lord put something specifically in your heart to share with. And then it did feel, in a lot of ways, very timely for us to just go, I think God's saying something to us that maybe we've missed.
Yeah.
And you kept saying checking in on ourselves. Could you kind of recreate some of that stuff that you talked about even say to kind of lead us in that? Because some people didn't get to make it that day.
Yeah.
And I would love for them to get it. some of that?
Well, one of the things that felt like it was a good way to think of it is a few months ago, I got some plants. Mm-hmm. And I'm not actually a gardener at all. I have no skill in this area. But all these plants that I had gotten that I was excited about were all dying, for and they all looked differently. And so I was talking to Don, you know, doing a little, I don't know, moaning about it. And and he said he got the app, and it's called Planta. And he went around and you take a picture of the plant, and then it tells you all about it. It tells you the name, tells you how much watering, tells you what fertilizer you need, it tells you if it needs to be repotted, tells you what's happening with the roots, tells you the sunlight, tells you all those things. And to me, that's kind of a good little picture about, tells you everything you need to know about your plant. And I said, wouldn't it be great if we had that for our souls?
Yeah.
Right? Take a picture of your soul and see what's happening with it, where you're missing, you know, the sunlight, the watering, the fertilizing, need to be replanted, need to be repotted. Like, is there a change that you're supposed to make? Is there a place in your soul that feels really dry? Wow. So just the idea of kind of, can we look at our souls with one another? And I think it's hard to keep track of ourselves, you know? So I said, it's hard to keep track of our desires, our disappointments, yes, our unforgiveness, our misunderstandings, our secrets, our comforts, our joys, our way, our narratives, our life, our relationships. And for me, as I kind of thought about this, I was like, why do we do that? Like, what happens? Like, why do we get to a place where you go, there's a cumulative effect that's happening inside of us? Mm. Like, those are old tears. Those are old disappointments. And especially inside of a caring profession, I think it's hard to remember how something impacted you.
Yeah.
But you're left with the marks of it, right? We know that from all the good people who are out there who are telling us good information about the brain and the body and everything, right? That the mark is kind of left.
Yeah.
So it's like getting hit by a softball or something, and you go, oh, there's evidence of a bruise. Or have you ever done this where you go, you walk away and you go, wow, I got a big bruise in my leg. I don't know where that's from.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, and you have to think back on, how did I get bruised? Actually, I think that's a really good picture of it. Like, how did I get bruised?
Right.
And you have to remember, like, what happened. And if you recall it, then you're like, oh, yeah, when I walked by that counter and I wasn't paying attention and I hit, right?
Yep.
It's that kind of exchange that I think happens inside of ministry, but we keep moving on.
That's a great point.
And there's benefits. That was what I said. I'd like to propose this idea that there are benefits to not paying attention.
Hmm.
There are benefits to not really seeing what's really happening with us, that we can do more, right, in our life. We can get numb, and that feels better than being insecure or disappointed or rejected or sad, right?
When you said that day, I was sitting by somebody, that numbness, and they just was like, oh. Like it took their breath away for a minute.
Mm.
And I just felt that in the room when you said it. That's probably the benefits of numbness.
Yeah.
That I don't think any of us would want to describe ourselves that way.
Right.
But it does seem like an easier way.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not long term.
Yep.
It's a short term benefit to being in ministry. But that's why I think the cumulative effect happens, right?
Yep.
And so I think the benefits, like Don and I talked about the idea of unforgiveness, that there's benefits to that too, because when you don't forgive somebody, you actually are self-protected and defensive. And you're like, I mean, how many times have you heard this? Well, I'll never trust like that again.
Yes, that's
I'll
true.
Never believe that way
so
again.
True. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so it's kind of another way of going, I'm not going to put myself out there. I'm not going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to be the fool in this again. But really, it's kind of evidence of, and not that we shouldn't get wise, that we shouldn't understand, none of that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But in this area of keeping track of ourselves, I think when we're rejected, when we have hard conversations, when we get bruised, when we're misunderstood, and especially during this time, right? That's why I think it's such a divisive time.
Yeah.
And if you're in the people business, which you are in ministry, you're kind of going, okay, tell us what you want.
Right.
And most of the time right now, there's this great divide over what everyone wants.
That's a good point.
And so as we look at people, we're like, if we try to straddle that, we will become nothing. Right. And so there's this place, I think, of not keeping track. And I think in the one of the benefits of not keeping track is you can run faster. Mm. You can do more. It's inconvenient to stop and kind of discover what's going on inside of us. And most people who are in ministry are more comfortable talking about others than they are talking about themselves.
That's a great point. It's a mm-hmm. great point.
And then you can just go through the motions, right? And so I can keep saying yes, and that feels good. It feels good to my flesh to keep saying yes. But in the back, there's these things still going on in our minds and our bodies and our spirits that we have to catch up. We have to let that catch up to us.
Yeah, that's really wise. Mm. I like that a lot. And then you kind of mentioned, I think you call them air tags.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where that you gave us, I think it was five.
Yeah. Well, I said, you know, when my son got me yeah. the air tag for my keys because he had observed me.
This is me. That's why I'm laughing.
And so he said, here's a gift in the beautiful box that yeah. Apple delivers in. And then he said, so now you'll know where things are at.
Right.
And so said, in my mind, there's kind of this place of, here's the quote, therefore ministry is very confronting service. It does not allow people to live with illusions or immorality and wholeness. Those two things, illusions or immorality and wholeness. It keeps reminding others that they are mortal and broken.
Wow.
But also that with the recognition of this condition, liberation starts. Henry Nouwen.
So good.
So to me, it's like the air tags are when we start to recognize some places of understanding, when we start to look at the first one is what we're praying about, what we're inquiring of the Lord.
Yeah.
It tells us something about what's going on with us, right? So, but I also think in that, you know, that's that whole thing to me of Moses when the Lord found him and he said, here I am. Mm. And I think it's a beautiful prayer, but I also think it's a really good question. Where am I at?
Wow.
Here I am. Where is that, Lord? Right? The good words to start with God that are holy. I mean, he says, you're standing on holy ground.
Yeah.
God says that to him. And he says, here I am. And he goes, that's holy, because the exchange of Moses with God of going, here I am, I'm available to you,
wow.
right?
Yes.
Giving God permission to disrupt, to disarm, right? To put our weapons down, to say, here I am. Can you show me where I'm at? And the opposite is true. As we kind of think about that, of said Joshua, who is this standard of like, he takes the promised land, he's right. discipled by
yes.
Moses, he's met the commander of the army of God, he gets to appoint the 12 tribes, right? So he's the person who goes across, he fortifies the cities, you know? And then there's this one kind of place that's super interesting in chapter 9, where he has a group of people that come to him that are deceptive. They put some rags on, they put some clothes on, they pretend as though they've come a long ways, but actually they're near neighbors, and they pretend. And it says in that Joshua did not inquire of the Lord. Mm. And I think the same kind of pattern can happen inside of religion, inside of Christianity, it's inside really good. Of us, where you go, we can get in the habit of knowing so many things that we quit inquiring of the Lord. We quit kind of looking to see what he's doing. So where you're inquiring, and then kind of where you're not, where you're just going through the motions. It's interesting because Joshua in that makes a pact, a treaty with people who are deceptive.
Hmm.
And then he is now in this treaty that he doesn't want to be in. And how many times do we make pacts with things that you go, because I didn't ask God about it.
Wow. That's really good.
I didn't ask him about what his thoughts were on it. I just went through the motions. We did the meeting. We set the agenda.
Mm.
And the just stopping and asking God, I tell you, the times when God has surprised me, where I've said to the Lord, okay, this is what we think we should do, but we would love your yes.
Mm.
We would love your yes. We're inquiring of you, right? And a lot of times we do plans or actions out of response to circumstances, human logic, a meeting, you know, not really kind of looking, right? Relied on old wisdom, but in the present moment to say it's inefficient to stop right now, right? To go, okay, let's just inquire, just to make sure. I think we're on track, but let's just make sure that that's what. So one of the things for me that has been really good for my soul has been this idea of what I, my waking inquiring or my going to sleep is going, when I wake, what's the first thing that I think of? Because it tells me something about what I'm carrying.
That's really helpful.
So I think the waking thoughts is a really good place to start about the inquiring, because that tells you something. Like if you wake up going, need to figure out that person. Usually in ministry, there's one. There's just one person. I mean, you look at scripture, and there's so many times that it's the one person that's like nipping at the hill, you know, the heels of somebody who, not hills, but heels of someone. So just seeing where you're inquiring and what you're thinking about, what you're praying about.
When you brought that one up, the thing that I think is just so both gentle and confrontive about it at the same time is the fact that most pastors and leaders that I know with and work with, the smallest part of their meetings is a prayer, you know?
Right.
And it's almost like we have to remind ourselves, because we think like our strategies and our whiteboards and our, you know, all those things we write on the board.
Right.
Are a replacement for that.
Right.
But just the reminder to go, no, we still are children who need to stop and pray.
Totally.
Is a big deal.
And if you kind of go, we have the God of creation who's the best strategist and CEO.
Yes.
So I think he might have a corner on this.
He's got some stuff to say.
He's
still speaking.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So inquiring of the Lord. I think the other part that this one feels probably the biggest to me of all the ones that I talked about, which is forgiveness.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, in Moses, when I was reading through Moses, I'm like, you know, he comes to God and he has the conversation. He said, first God says to him, I've seen my people and their misery, which is such a beautiful statement, right? But Moses, the actual priest, he's the one who's having to be with the miserable people, right? And it's good to know that God knows the misery before you go to the miserable people, right?
Yes.
Because people, when you're in the company of misery, when you're in the company of people who you go, wow, it's really difficult to kind of figure out what's going on with them. And when I think about ministry, I like, there's kind of these two resources to me. There's money and people. When you think about like just ministry in general, I mean, I'm simplifying, but
sure, yeah,
just in general, people, they both have really tricky, you know, things to them. But people, right, to do ministry with people is going to bring up all of my insecurities and sin and theirs as well.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to minister to the people because Jesus' way is to go to the unhealthy, the poor, the afflicted, right? The marginalized.
Yes. Yeah.
So when we go and we're with them, we have to be aware of ourselves and what's going on with us because we are going to be impacted by that.
That's great. Yeah.
And so as we go and we're with those people, we go, they're a bundle of contradiction as am I.
Yeah.
Right? And as I'm with them, I have to learn this skill of letting people go, of forgiving people. And it says, Moses is commanded to go and help the Israelites get out of slavery. He released them from their oppression. We're called to go and be with people who are oppressed as well, and they're in slavery. But as we go and we're around oppression, we will be exposed. It's like to me, like when you go in and you get an x-ray and they have you put on something, right? Mm-hmm. You go, we have to be aware of what our exposure rate is. Right? And the idea is that these people, Jesus drawn to as well, Moses says, who am I? And the key to us going and being with people is he says, I will be with you.
Yeah. Yep.
I will be with you. The truth is on the way to getting people out of bondage, we might get into bondage. So a lot of times when Don and I are with people, we recognize early on when we were doing marriage work is we would be with people and we'd be perfectly good with one another. And then we would walk out and we'd start fighting over something. And then we'd kind of look at each other and go, what happened? Like, oh, we got exposed.
Yeah.
We got exposed to the sin and the brokenness that's going on. And I think we discount that, yeah. right? I think we discount like our exposure rate and we should be aware of what happens. And so we always say that's a spraying down, a hosing down of each other. We're like, hey, should we just hose each other down real quick after we're with people, right?
I like
just
that.
Pray it off. Like, yeah. let's just get cleaned up, right? So I think that, yeah. And I think the tiredness of kind of carrying that is a part of it in us kind of just letting people go because there's places inside of us that we have to on the regular. And to me, if we don't have a regular practice in ministry of letting people go, this conversation weekly, I feel like needs to happen. I mean,
yeah.
is it you're asking God, is there anyone I'm supposed to give back to you right now? Anyone I'm supposed to release to you, that something is kind of hanging on. And you might have to do that, I don't know, 10 times, 20 times.
70 times.
70 times, right?
yeah, exactly. yeah.
So like just the release, right, of yeah. kind of going, what do I need to do about what those people and forgiveness? Frederick Buechner talks about that, about the idea of us forgiving, you know, as we forgive those who trespass against us, right?
Yeah.
In the Lord's Prayer, and he says, our unforgiveness is among those things that about us that we need to have God forgive us most. Mm. What Jesus apparently is saying is that the pride that keeps us from forgiving is the same pride that keeps us from accepting forgiveness. And God, will God please help us to do something about that?
Wow.
When somebody you've wronged forgives you, you're spared the dull and self-diminishing throb of guilty conscience. And when you forgive somebody who has wronged you, you're spared the dismal corrosion of bitterness and wounded pride. For both parties, this is the key. Forgiveness means the freedom again to be at peace inside their own skins and to be glad in each other's presence. That's from wishful thinking.
But I
think,
deep.
Yeah. Yeah, he's deep. He's deep.
That is... That, to me, was the biggest air tag for me when you went over the forgiveness one.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just how easy it is to just go, oh, just let it roll off your back.
Totally.
Rather than to just kind of go.
Yeah.
And there's a pride in that. Like, oh, it didn't hurt me. Or it's not right. It's not a problem or whatever. Just blah, blah, blah. And you just, you don't end up actually doing the work of checking with your heart of what are those things that are
right.
are actually
right.
eroding,
right.
making you less human or less
yeah.
like,
yeah.
like less like Christ.
Yeah.
So that one was it. I think it was the biggest air tag, at least for me personally. That felt so, the spirit going, Aaron, I think she's talking to you, you know? And so I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Specifically because I think we hear it and we can even teach it.
Right.
But maybe we just ignore it. Or I do. I ignore it too
right.
much.
Right. Well, the Holy Spirit's kind because the Holy Spirit will tell us what is really going on with us. So I think one of the things in these situations, like in ministry, is what might be something that is difficult for you in letting someone go may not be difficult for me.
That's good. Yep.
And I don't need to do a comparison. I just need to keep track of what's going on inside of me, right? But we can look around and go, well, no one else is really bothered by that.
Right. Right.
So I guess I shouldn't be, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is, all of this is not for self-focus so that it's about us. This
yes.
is all for freedom.
Yes.
So yes. as we are looking at our hearts, we're always looking at our hearts with God. And as we look at our hearts with God, we're asking him to examine the good prayer that David does.
Yeah,
you know,
search me, yeah.
right? And as we ask him to search us, that's just so we have the space inside of us to be witnesses to what's going on in the world with other people, with our life.
So good.
Right?
Yep.
And that whole unforgiveness takes up space inside of us. So the dangerous question is, ask the Lord if you're mad at anyone.
I like that.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous question.
That is a dangerous question. So it certainly is.
Yes.
I think the next air tag is places of refueling. To me, it's one of the things that I think is difficult in ministry is there's so much work, there's so much need, there's so much to do. And if we don't pay attention to the refueling, so there, you know, Paul always talks about there's this taking out and then there's putting in. There's removing, right, so that you can refuel. and this refueling, if you don't know what it is that refuels you, right, then you won't be able to get filled up. So where are the places, you know, that you can be refueled, where you can go and go, wow, I want something to get deeper in me so that I have joy. Recently, I had that conversation with my husband, and I said, I feel like this last season has really stolen some joy from me. So I was like, I need to figure out some places of joy with God right now. But that's how you start it, right? So you just start it with God and just say, I need renewal, right? We need to be in the place where it goes to this deeper level inside of us. And then the next one is the idea of active discernment and holding information. One of the things that I think is really difficult in ministry life is the places where we're trying to discern knowledge, trying to understand what's going on in the information that's coming in. And it's discernment's this supernatural movement, right, of understanding strongholds, understanding what we're supposed to, how we're supposed to move ahead. Like, okay, these both seem like good options. What are the things that we're supposed to do? But it's an interior movement that's intuitive by nature. And that intuitiveness is us being connected to the spirit and understanding what the movement looks like.
Yeah.
And just the idea of having discerning people around you. I don't know if I even said that, but one of the things I think as a pastor is that you're in the forest so much that it's really hard to see what, you know, like you're trying to get through this path. You're trying to understand a topic away.
That's good.
And so having discernment to know what it is, right? And I think that if you have a ministry team, if you don't have any discerning people, I think it's difficult to really understand what you're supposed to be doing in a ministry team as well. So I think in discernment, you act on it, pray on it. These are the things you can do. Act on it, pray on it, repress it, yell about it, confront it, right? There's all these different places. But if we have knowledge, it's interesting because with Moses, he had knowledge of something before it happened. Yeah. God said, this is what we're going to do. This is how they're going to respond. And this is what I'm calling you to.
Yeah.
Right? He had this interior space with God where he knew what was going to happen before it was going to happen. Mm. I think sometimes we're privy to the secrets of God. And God kind of shows something to us. But then we have to have discernment about what we're supposed to do about it.
Wow.
We're supposed to, okay, Lord, we kind of feel like this is the direction that it's going, but we need to entrust ourselves to the knowledge of God, right?
So
the care for others, understanding how we can look at a situation, hold space for what the Lord is up to, diving into the Word to understand what He is doing. But I wasn't planning on saying this, and I did at the time, which I just remembered it is, I think we get this thing mixed up of going trust God, love people. And I think we switch those around. And a lot of times we're like, people aren't trustworthy, so I'm going to quit loving them.
Mm.
And I think God's always calling us into a posture and a place of, I'm the trustworthy one, right?
Yes.
I'm the only perfect thing. And then so that you can love others,
that's
right?
That's good.
And to be in discernment, to be humbly aware of God knew about this day before we got into it.
Mm.
That's humbling.
Yeah.
To go, this news is not old to him. And that's the thing about Jesus. If you watch him, he knew things, but he was able to have this place of cooperation with both joy and sorrow, sitting in both of those places. And then the last air tag is know the narrative of your fears. Be aware of the places of vulnerability your fears can drive you. God told Moses to go to Pharaoh to speak, probably the biggest fear he had, right?
Yeah.
He's like, there's not a bigger fear for Moses than like, okay, I'm going to ask you to go speak. So then he just sets him up, right? He just keeps going, okay. Moses keeps having questions for him about, and he keeps speaking his narrative out loud. What if they say this? What if they do this?
Yeah.
Right? That actually is a good way for me to have a conversation with God.
Mm.
Just have it with him. Talk about the fears that you have. He uses the things that are really familiar to Moses, his staff and his hand, right? He goes, okay, your staff's going to be with you. Throw it on the ground. Turns into a stake, right? Put your hand in your cloak. Oh, leprosy. right? Put it back in, right? He does all these things to comfort him in his fear. It seems like to me, Moses still has this kind of place inside of him that he goes, but he goes scared, but he goes with God. And I think if we're not paying attention, those fears get attached to us. They cling to us. They can drive to us. We can get committed to them, and we can have a narrative about what's going to happen. So truly important question is, what scares you? The funny thing about fear is it has the same effect on us as drinking.
Yeah.
And when you're drunk, you're not going to do a very good job driving or being in relationships or understanding things. But fear has this way. Fear's fast, too. It's kind of fast and furious, right?
Yeah.
Slips in the door. But it can kind of drive us, and we have to tell the truth about our fears. So if you kind of go through the things that we just talked about, you go, as you're with people and understanding what's going on with you, keeping track, what are you praying about, right?
Yeah.
Where have you been? Are you letting people go? Are you getting refueled? And are you actively discerning and knowing how to hold the information? And then you're asking God about your fears. If you do that on the regular, your place can be pretty freed up, right? It's not that these are everything, but they definitely are a place where we can start to understand what's going on inside of us and be in a place of clear ministry.
That's beautiful. On Sunday, one of the pastor I pastor with, Wayne Winter, he quoted you on that one, on knowing the narrative of your fears, because of just the sense of our fears are telling us a lot of stories too.
Totally.
And there is a lot of that conversation that we get to have with God. I like how you said, you know, how Moses would bring that and have that conversation. Like,
right,
this is what's going to happen if we do this, or this is how the people are going to respond. And so I just love the call that you gave to everyone to go. Don't settle for numbness, you know. Don't just settle for it or just operate, even though it has maybe short-term benefits.
Yeah.
For the long haul, you can't live that way.
Yeah, yeah.
When you said that at the space, and then just resonating on how Christ, when he's dying on the cross, was offered to be numbed.
Yeah.
You can be numbed. You can take this narcotic or take a drink of this, and it'll help you with the pain.
Yeah.
And he refused that for the sense of like, I'm going to feel all of this. And there's something about us taking the narcotic, if you will, or the numbness.
Right.
Just for the short term,
right,
it may have some benefits.
Right.
But for the long term, if we live that way, we're not going to be able to operate like that.
Well, it brings to mind the idea of Jesus stood in front of people that all wanted to provoke his fear.
Yeah.
Right? They said, you know, I'm in charge right now. And he goes, actually, you're not.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Right?
Yes.
So everywhere he went, people were trying to provoke, make some headway, right? Is there any window where I can insert fear? Because once that gets in it, gets in us, it has a way of its own, right?
Yeah.
And I think that controlling kind of drive that can happen for us, that we can start to believe the lie that other things are in charge.
Wow.
Right?
So good.
Yeah.
Well, it was such a healing time, and I really appreciated your prayerfulness, your willingness to stand up there and to minister to all of these people. You could tell you related with them and all those things. As you look back on that now, we'll kind of end with this. In that moment, was there anything you wish you would have said, or anything maybe you were sensing in the room that you would be willing to share?
You know, before the morning, before I got up, I was talking to the Lord about what I was going to say. And one thing that was really just softening for my heart is he just said, these people care about people. And I was like, oh, wow, Lord. And he goes, and I care about them. And I was really blessed by God's heart for that. And I think I think in ministry, if we try and hold all the different pieces together, so good. It will shatter us. And it's not, ministry is not meant to shatter us. It's not meant to do that to our lives. And I think if we try to control it, I think the Lord invites us back with him to steward it instead and trust him and go, okay, Lord, you have a place for me in this, you know, but that would probably be that'd probably be the thing that I didn't say when I got up there, but when I started, I was like, I really want people to be thanked because I feel like, gosh, we need people right now.
Yeah, we do.
And we need people that love God and trust him. And I really want those people to keep following his lead and see that he has good things for them and to not eat up their life. And I really, really want them to know that I'm grateful, that we're grateful for the leadership that people are doing in our city and in other places too.
Yeah. Renee, thank you so much for taking time out again to share that and the tears in your eyes and the softness of your heart and the confidence you have in Christ and the call that you gave to all of us to check the air tags and to make sure that our hearts are right. Just showed that you cared for everybody in that room who's trying to care for other people. And it came through. And our prayer in Surge is to really be a place of rest, but also a place of reconciliation and healing and a place that activates and sends people. But all those things are connected. They're not like categorized. Like those things need to continue to stay together. If we're resting in Christ, there's all kinds of healing and reconciliation that comes, and then we get sent.
Yeah.
We get sent into places that you mentioned that are broken, that need healing.
Yeah.
And this is just a beautiful thing that you did that day. And I hope that if anybody has questions or is there a way they can email or contact you and your ministry, your husband, how can they do that?
Yeah. Yeah. We have a website, Donna Renee. We were coming up with all kind of clever names and no one remembered any of them. So we just decided to use our names
instead. I love it.
DonnaRenee.com. And, you can click on there. It's for, you know, and there's free resources on there. We have a marriage retreat coming up.
Great.
And we love pastors and people in ministry, and we're really grateful for any places that we get to be with them in that. So, yeah, if there's any follow-up with that, we'd love to hear from people.
And if there's any questions that you have for Surge, you can go on to surgenetwork.com. You can reach out to us through there, and we'd love to respond, connect, for you to connect with other leaders in town. But, Renee, thank you again.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Surge Network Podcast. For more information and upcoming events, visit surgenetwork.com.